Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement. One of the Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree.
Can you just reset it again?
Sixers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though.
I don't know what's up.
If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net.
It's a little late to tell on Skype.
And a special shout-out.
I don't know, Don said WhatsApp, but I don't use it, so he's having trouble with his WhatsApp.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We're dealing with some technical difficulties as we speak. We're trying to get our guest on, Mr. John Mark Dugan. We're having some troubles with WhatsApp. Gentlemen, where are we sitting on the situation?
Russia, his number, WhatsApp isn't recognizing his number for some strange reason, yet it's everybody in Russia uses WhatsApp, but for some reason or another, it's telling him that it's an invalid number. We double-checked and triple-checked the number. That isn't the issue. Can you WhatsApp... okay. I'm not sure. He's sending his WhatsApp number. I just sent that to you. I'm not sure if that will work better from the other way around or.
It's going to be virtually impossible for me because I'm going to have to leave the studio to do so. And you sent him the correct number.
No, he sent the wrong number. Here's the correct number. He was off by a digit. Must have been a panic typo, I'm sure. I apologize for this. I'm not sure what's happening between Russia and us. Okay, I will send your number back to him. Wow.
Yeah, this is... We apologize, people. You know, this technically doesn't happen on my show. That's why we asked the guests to call in ahead of time, which we did try to pre-plan and do, but we're actually running into technical difficulties. We will make this show happen.
We actually had a pre-show meeting yesterday, a video chat, to hopefully make sure that none of this happened, and that's probably why. If we hadn't done that, we probably would have been all right.
Hey, Don, can you turn off your audio a little bit?
Turn it up?
Yeah, just your audio, because people are saying it's kind of low.
All right, how about now?
That sounds better on my end. I hope everybody else can hear it good.
Yeah, it should be good.
One of the other things that has been happening here in Canada, we've had our major carrier has been experiencing extreme interruptions. Alberta has been almost shut down the entire mobile network grid for different portions of time today. So who knows what's happening? I'm glad we got through.
Most definitely. We're going to try to make things happen and see what happens. It's the best we can do. It's all we can do. Let me go ahead and try this. I don't know what's going to happen.
First time we've done a show from Russia, we had no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to put a number in as we speak, and I keep getting the same error. But we'll keep trying.
Actually, he should be able to jump in through here on Skype if he goes through the page. It can be sending the link for the show. He should be able to jump in.
Tell him.
Yeah, let's do it that way. Let's go ahead and bring him on your show, and I'll just interview him from my side. Everybody will still be able to hear it.
Okay, we can bring him in here.
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, the show must go on.
Yeah, okay.
It's still going to be aired out on my network anyway.
Great.
I apologize to my listeners. Give us one brief moment, and we're going to probably bring him on What's Up Canada and still hear the voice through our network, so the show will still ultimately go out worldwide.
He might be rocking in onto you on a Skype call.
I'm not getting anything, brother. Just something on your show. Just pull him on your show.
It might interfere.
He just vanished. Popped back in and then vanished again.
Yeah, I'm not able to reach him via WhatsApp or anything. When I try to put it in there, it tells me invalid number. I apologize to my listeners.
Okay.
Bear with us. We'll be right with you.
You guys all for your patience.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you very much.
What's the Skype name, Don, for your Skype?
I've never utilized that before. You know, right now the best option we got is to bring him on your show, since he can't get a hold of me and I can't contact him. We'll just have to deal with the interference as it goes.
Awesome idea.
I mean, we got calls from Beirut and other aspects, so I don't know what's going on with the WhatsApp. And I apologize to my listeners. We're trying to make this show happen. We're running into some technical difficulties. Please bear with us.
Okay, we're just about to bring him in here.
Appreciate everybody sharing with us. Don't you love the world of technology? It's kind of crazy, but you know, honestly, we've been working on this for 2 days, and hopefully we'll get everything sorted out here in a moment. We're trying our best. Give us just one brief moment, and we'll see if we can bring him on. Wayne Show. Might have to go to a brief commercial just to satisfy the sponsors, but I've tried everything that I possibly can. I'm not able to bring him in on WhatsApp. I've tried over and over and over. The number that he's given me is not correct, according to that. We might just all get pulled in on Wayne's show. I might just have to scrap this aspect because I'm not getting anything. Derek, are you still with me? Getting any audio on my side, so let's see what's going on. We may have to cancel the live show for today and just do it via What's Up Canada. Frustrating, frustrating, frustrating. Please bear with me. We'll have something. Hey, Wayne, if you can hear me, have him call me on my cell phone number. All right. John, we got you, brother.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. You know, I apologize to my listeners for the technical difficulties that we've been dealing with.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What's up, Canada? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I'm checking to see if What's Up Canada is with us now.
With bells on.
Delay is awful.
All right.
Do I need the camera on or what?
Put the camera for now, buddy.
Say what?
He said use the camera. Just go ahead and stay on the camera for now. You know, let's go ahead and start the show on my show. You know, first and foremost, John, welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm the host of The Fighter's Voice, Don McGuire. You know, we apologize
for
the technical difficulties. You know,
no, that's okay.
We're going to kind of touch on different aspects on today's show. First and foremost, we're going to kind of give little tidbits of information so we could kind of carry this out through a couple of shows. You know, one perplexing question that has been transpired to me in the last 24 hours, and it's a question that I felt that I needed to ask. You know, here's a man that was a police officer in Florida. You were entrusted with these tapes. And you fled to Russia, leaving your life as you knew it behind. What in your heart made those tapes so relevant that you had to leave behind the life of John Dugan?
Well, I don't know if it was only the tapes, you know, because I had those tapes since 2010 and nobody said in 2020 or late 2019. So, you know, I think, I mean, I had to leave for other reasons and those tapes were incidental. I didn't even give them any thought until that article came out, when the MI6 knew that I had them.
Most definitely. Well, with all intents and purposes, you know, I know and Wayne knows, but I like to share the voice from the person themselves. If you can, what were those intensive reasons that did have you leave Florida and go to Russia and seek asylum?
So I started a website exposing criminal activity within the police department, the state attorney's office, and other and within the judicial system, judges and stuff, and. You know, once I started that, the sheriff's office and the FBI, they investigated me for 6 years. And I caught the sheriff's office and some other people, maybe from the state attorney's office and maybe from the FBI. I'm not 100% sure. They were hacking into my social media and my Facebook accounts, my social media and my email accounts. So I actually went – I had audio recordings of this, which are still on my website. I went to the FBI, and the FBI said that they weren't going to investigate it. And, you know, to me, this is an egregious violation of my privacy, of every American citizen's privacy, that that any cops can just hack into your stuff because they don't like what you're saying. And so I exploited a loophole in the voter registration system in Florida, and I published 14,000 names, addresses, and phone numbers of FBI agents, CIA agents, police officers, judges, etc. And, you know, I think maybe that might have been the catalyst, or maybe it's some documents that I received the night before the FBI raided my house. I did a bunch of different things. So to pinpoint one, I just necessarily can't.
Most definitely. You know, sir, you look at the tapes that are in your possession, and we're going to jump all over. I'm going to allow What's Up Canada to come on here in a second. You look at the tapes that are in your hands, that they add a value of complexities that, if given to the world, would change a lot of thoughts, would change a lot of perceptions, would have others look at other people in a different aspect. What is it about those tapes that has you holding on to them ethically, morally, and, you know, because you're the man that truly has to live with what you have in your possession. What keeps you from sharing that aspect with the world?
Look, you know, the girl who shared the Panama Papers is dead, okay? I gave up absolutely everything to give voice to people that didn't have voices. I gave up everything. I lost my home, my car, my bank accounts, my life, my children. Okay, I lost absolutely everything. And there's not a single soul that gave a shit. Nobody came to my defense. I didn't have television and radio callers asking me what was up, why I had to go to Russia. I was on my own, right? So my life is the last thing that I have. And I'm not going to put my life in jeopardy so I can't see my children at least one last time. You know, when I get to see my kids again, I haven't seen them in 4 years. When I get to see them again, maybe I'll revisit the question. But, you know, I'm doing this out of self-preservation.
I don't think there's any of us that can even for a second put ourselves in your shoes to pretend to think that we can understand what that's like. So I know we sacrifice a lot to tell the truth to the world. And I want you to know that since I found your story, you're not alone, John.
I'm going to turn it over to Wayne Peters of What's Up Canada. Wayne?
John, you know, there's no amount of thanks that we can give that's adequate for that. And I'm sure you're seeing a big escalation all over the world with what's going on pertaining to not just those tapes, but the people in it. I know through following your story that you've seen what's on a couple of the tapes. How much is there compared to what you've seen? How much is there that the world hasn't seen yet? Because this is going to shed some magnitude on the value of why your life is so important versus what's on there.
There's over 740 video clips.
A lot of evidence.
Yes, a lot. There is
a lot. But now, being as that we're going to be trying to take this into depth, and it's going to take more than one get together to do this. The Epstein tapes are huge, but you're also involved now, since you've been in Russia, into what could possibly be equally or bigger stories of corruption that are right now. I mean, not saying that the Epstein story isn't affecting global events, but some of the other things you've been working on and exposing over there in Russia and the Ukraine have a bigger implications perhaps than even that. So I've kind of done a little bit of a lead up with the folks about your helping a whistleblower escape from the Ukraine. And this is where I'd like to for you to tell us all a little bit about how this connection is going to carry into the stories that we're going to tell and uncover and expose in the next couple of days between Canada, U.S., and the Ukraine, and the rest of the world, for that matter. This deeply involves Russia as probably a victim in all of this as well.
Yeah, Russia is a victim. You know, they get painted as the bad guy, no matter what they do. I mean, you know, they're helping Italy right now with the coronavirus, and they get painted as the bad guy. So, you know, Russia just can't win in anything. But that being said, as far as my involvement in the whole Ukraine scandal, in January, I decided to get on VKontakte, which is like a Facebook. It's VK.com, actually. You can check it out. I got on VKontakte, and I decided to start chatting it up with some employees of Burisma. And I found a lady, a very nice, kind lady, who didn't like what was happening. She was in the upper echelon of management. And, you know, I spoke to her for, a month before I told her that I would try to get her out of Ukraine, and she could start blowing the whistle on a bunch of this stuff. And so about a month later, it didn't really go as planned, but eventually she got out of Ukraine, not unharmed, but she got out.
Family hasn't made it out yet.
Say what?
Her family hasn't made it out yet?
No, her family is in Crimea, which is technically not a part of Ukraine anymore. So.
Right. So, and this is where this brings everybody that's in the audience up to speed with where you're at right now working with. I know you're doing some work as far as for fundraising and charity work to help not only the people in the community you're out there, but to help get this woman's family out of the Crimea so that she can carry on with telling the truth. Am I correct?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I gave up on that. I gave up on the fundraising. I had raised about $6,000. Through GoFundMe, and they refused to release the money to her, even though she provided a copy of her passport, and which actually GoFundMe, I highly suspect leaked her name to somebody, because after GoFundMe had her name, she got robbed and viciously beaten by somebody hired by her company.
I can't even begin to fathom what she must be going through. And now she's kind of stuck in a similar situation with, as you, is the only thing saving her life is the information that she has.
No, she was robbed. She was escorted from her office on a Saturday back to her house by two men initially, and then a third man who spoke English showed up. They took file boxes and her laptop. They beat her viciously. They sodomized her with the handle of her hairbrush. and they left. And I went to go get her the next day.
I am really speechless, but this has me. Because I from researching from this end in Canada as to what's been going on behalf of some American people, and a lot of Canadian people is directly connected to that violence that has befallen this lady. Don?
Yeah.
You still with us?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
No, Don, the host. I haven't heard him for a little bit. Not
Hi,
sure
I'm
where
here.
He's at.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
I know
he
is. But yeah, you know, John, I explained to you my format kind of jumps from place to place. And I'm going to ask one more question on the Epstein aspect, and then we'll kind of move forward. You know, you've had an opportunity to see some aspects of the tapes. You've had an aspect and a thought process of what you saw and what you've taken away. What can you share as far as certain aspects, certain people that you've seen on the tape? As we spoke yesterday, you said no question was unanswerable or no question was put off the table. You know, so I don't know how deep you can go into that complex aspect of it, but what can you share?
It's fine. I'll share with you. I mean, you know, so, and actually this is a very strange, story. I didn't get into this yesterday, but, when this whole story broke and MI6 was, telling the news that I had these tapes, it was a shock to me. And I had a journalist here by the name of, Ron Chesapeake. I don't know if you know him. And he was actually visiting me in Moscow. And on the last day he was here, we decided, all right, you know, let's just pick a few tapes at random, and we'll like a few videos at random and just see what's on them. And so we did, and we picked 7 of them. We picked them, I think the date range is between like 2000 and 2003 is what we picked. And yeah, there 6 of them are men having sex with girls. And one of them is like the dressing room of a girl where she's getting out of the shower and getting dressed.
Now, mind you, these are the early tapes, correct? These go up to 1995. Now, I know what we discussed in our conference yesterday. There was one individual's name that we brought up. I don't know if I can share that publicly or not. Can I, with your permission?
You can. I mean, I happen to have 7 of those video clips on my computer. You know, obviously, we blurred out the innocent person's features and face, but I think it was pretty clear who the one person was.
Yes, so now,
go ahead.
He was a director of a CEO of a television network, correct?
That's correct.
And that affiliation being ABC, am I right?
I know, it's NBC.
NBC. You know, see, that's why it's always better to get it from the horse's mouth, because, you know, we find aspects and they're not always true. You know, with me, pedophiles, really, it destroys me. You know, and I understand the aspect of you not wanting to share these tapes because of what will happen to you and what definitely, you know, would incite fear in anybody. You know, I commend you, brother, for having this aspect, but at the same time, you know, ethically, what does it do to a man like yourself who prides himself on who you are, but at the same time knowing you can't release a certain aspect, because if you do, it will be your demise.
It sucks. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It sucks. I've lost sleep over it, you know? But I have a responsibility to my children, and that's to see them at least one last time. You know, I left. I didn't even get a chance to hug them goodbye. I had to sneak out of the country in a wig. And, you know, I mean, I have a more than anything, I want to see my kids again, you know?
Yeah. I feel you, brother. You know, I don't know how deep you want to go with the Burisma aspect, but what are your thoughts when it comes to Joel Zaczewski and the $23 million that was transferred and the UK froze ultimately and caught that transfer? What are your thoughts of Burisma from that point moving forward?
Honestly, I've never given it a lot of thought. I mean, I looked at the documents this lady had, but I never actually checked into the, like, I never really paid attention to the actual happenings, like what's been reported in the news. Just, you know, not something that I actually. My goal was to get her out of Ukraine to Russia safely, and I was just going to let her report everything about that. But you know, so as far as the intricacies of it, I don't have an actual answer.
Most definitely, but we can correlate Obama and other aspects to the story, and. You know,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, they were all involved.
Well,
you know?
You know, that's what I kind of want to touch on. You look at Kolomoisky. You know, this is a man that murdered people, beheaded people, but yet he gets a visa to the U.S. from the one and only Joe Biden with aspects
mm-hmm.
of Obama. What are your thoughts on why the Democratic Party clung to a gentleman that was a murderer, that had no heart, that stole millions?
Are we talking about a Ukrainian guy, or are we talking about Hillary Clinton?
We're talking about Kolomoisky. He's the gentleman.
I know. I'm making a joke about the Democratic Party, because everything you just said applies to Hillary Clinton and the Clintons.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, sir.
So, look, you know, there's no difference between this guy and the rest of these top Democrats. Absolutely none. They're all a bunch of thieves. They're all a bunch of murderers. They're all a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah, you know, it's an atrocity what's happening. And the more you dig, the more it breaks your heart. You know, how and when, I mean, do you think the possibility of helping her get out of the country is possible? Do you think that down the road you're going to be able to correlate that aspect for this lady?
Well, I did get her out of the country.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah. No, me and a group of guys, we snuck into Ukraine to get her out the day after that she got beaten.
That's sickening and sad. Wayne?
I know there's been a little bit of time in between your efforts in getting her out and where we're at now. There's been, I'm not sure exactly, a few weeks or a month or so since you've gotten her out. In the between time, you got really, really ill, and you got tested and went through this whole COVID thing, and you came out the other side. And gratefully for that, you and your friend of yours also, but you guys were treated quickly and with actually used the drug that the Democrats are fighting the Americans from receiving in the U.S. And for 16 cents a pill, you guys got through this entire COVID thing on a well-established drug, and the Democrats are down there in the States trying to stop people from having access to this drug. So I just kind of, without wanting to get lost into a long, deep pandemic discussion, because everybody else in the world is already neck deep into that. So you guys came, you saw, you conquered, you went, cost you 16 cents a tablet, and these murderous Democrats are trying to stop people from having access to that.
Yeah, but I think people are missing the big picture with that whole thing, right? There's a reason they don't want them to use a cheap medication, and that's because the FDA, they are in bed with all these drug companies, right? And the drug companies don't want for people to take a cheap medication to get better. They want to develop a new medication, a medication that costs $1,000 a tablet, right? So that the insurance companies pick up the tab. And they're willing to let everybody die, that's dying now, so that they can do this. And you're right, it is the Democratic Party. I think it might be some Republicans too. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's disgusting. And this is exactly what's happening. I got very sick. I had the symptoms for about a week and a half. And then I got really sick after that, to the point where I had to call the coronavirus doctors that they showed up at my house. And 4 days after I started taking that medication, I was feeling almost new again, you know? So, and granted, I'm not in bad health. You know, I probably would have bounced back anyways, but I have to say that medication that I took is probably was the deciding factor on why I'm feeling so much better, so much faster. Now I've been tested asymptomatic and free of the virus.
The basic malaria tablet, right?
Yeah, it's hydroxychloroquine.
Yep.
And what it does is it suppresses the body's immune system response. And azithromycin, because, one of the factors of this COVID is people getting pneumonia, you know?
You know, the thing that is so crazy about our country is people look at social media and they pull everything away from there and they think it's factual. And that's why, you know, John, I'm so glad you're on the show today, because you're a prime example. Not only am I correct, not only did you test positive, but I believe your girlfriend did too also, correct?
Yeah, I tested positive 3 times because during the whole course, I had to keep retesting until I tested negative. But yeah, she did as well. And she only had symptoms for 2 days, and she didn't go on any medication. So, you know, this virus is not what people think it is.
Yeah. You know, another thing I want to clear up, and it's kind of a redundant and stupid question, but this is the day and times that we live in. You know, you go all across Facebook, I'm sure you've seen it, sir. You know, there's multiple news reporting agencies, and this is what I want people to understand, how quick and how false news is spread across the globe. You know, you look at quite a few posts that say in Russia they released, you know, tigers to maintain the street while, you know, forcing people into isolation. You and I both know this to be false. You know, what is it that you could give to the listeners in some aspects of encouragement to some of the falsities that are coming out of Russia via these news agencies?
Well, look, I mean, that's just ludicrous. And in fact, I posted a video last night, and if it's okay for me to give out my YouTube channel, John Mark Dugan, people can actually see. I went to the mall. I went to Moscow State University. I walked around a little bit. I took them on a tour of the mall. People were shopping and eating, and it's not – they're not releasing lions or doing any of that other stuff. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, you're very profound in all aspects. You know, there's a question that's kind of killing me, and I kind of want to know your personal thoughts and sentiments. I mean, like I said, we're going to jump all over today. But
jump.
When you look at Trudeau and you look at Soros, and your thoughts, is there any correlation?
All right, so look, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because I don't know a lot about Trudeau. I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you. And I hate to sound stupid in front of all your listeners, but I don't really pay attention to that guy, you know?
Oh, no, you're fine, sir. You know, we don't know unless we ask. You know, the thing of it is you look at the corruptness that's created, you know, through Burisma, through the Ukraine, and you played a major role in getting this young lady out. You know, what I want my listeners to take from this is when you look at the three main factions that, you know, help this organization. You look at Joe Biden, you look at Hillary Clinton, and you look at Obama. These are the three main aspects that are trying to, at this point in time in our country, that are trying to manipulate, you know, and disassociate Trump and make, you know, him look like an idiot in front of the world's eyes. What is your take on what the Democratic aspects are trying to perplex, not just in the United States now, not just in Canada, but globally?
Well, so Democrats are globalists by nature. They don't want anything nationalized. You know, you hear a lot about the New World Order and all this other stuff. I think it's probably right on the money, you know? It's a scary time that we're living in. Thank God we have a guy like Trump in the White House, and, you know, love him or hate him, he does what he says he's going to do. He says what he thinks, no matter what people say. They may like it, and they may hate it, but it's how he feels. And actually, this is why they don't like Putin, because Putin's a nationalist. Putin doesn't play this whole global banking nonsense. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He's not going to be a part of the New World Order. He's a nationalist, just like Trump, and this is why that they don't like him.
Would you say that's an aspect of, you know, the Democrats basically in this situation are now getting caught with their pants down because a lot of people that do have major fan bases and have found factual information can now correlate them to this? Do you think that's a major reason why they're trying to now correlate Russia and Trump collusion so much so it takes the heat off the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, look, Russia's an easy target to call out corruption and to make them look at the bad guy. They were the bad guys for the last 75 years, you know? So it's easy to keep perpetuating that myth. And then once they paint Trump as being in cahoots with Putin, you know, it's not so far of a stretch. In terms of you know, being the being able to push that narrative. But of course, we all know that it's not true. We all know that Trump is not Putin's puppet. In fact, it's just the opposite. Sanctions have never been stronger. Weapons given to the NATO countries have never been more. You know, every narrative that the Democrats are pushing to try to paint Trump in bed with Putin is just idiotic and false.
Yeah, you know, we all know that as factual, but, you know, we're not the average Americans or Canadians or even any aspect globally that really takes the time to research. It goes back to the basic fundamentality, what I was talking about with people taking news to heart at first glance. And the Democratic Party has truly done that and tried to correlate different aspects throughout the world, you know, to orchestrate these ugly pictures that we all know aren't true. I'm going to pass the mic back to Wayne and What's Up Canada and let him ask you a few questions, and then I'll come back, sir.
Okay.
Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
I have been sitting here and just smiling and looking forward to tying together some of these things, you know, like the fact that the Democrats are globalists. It's the same in Canada. Our liberals are globalists. These globalists come from a long line of hereditary globalism among their families. This is multi-generational. This is global. And it's all, at some point or another, they all cross lines with the international banks, which are all globalists. And here what we're seeing is, and this is what people lose perspective and scale, is that Russia has the largest landmass in the world, but their military spending budget is 1/25th of what the U.S. is. Right?
Yeah.
So this mass threat, not saying Russia isn't a threat, they're a defensive nation, they have threats, things to be afraid of, but they are not the threat that the MSM and the Democrats and the liberals all want us to believe that they are, because that fear is how they maintain their power. They want us to be afraid of a boogeyman behind every tree, and they've got us to the point where we're in our, you know, looking at our neighbors now under this pandemic, saying there's a boogeyman under behind that tree. They're not practicing social distancing. They could be a carrier.
Yeah.
The thing is going to kill you. Don't take this drug. It might save you. Chase that boogeyman instead. So all of these things are tying together to where I believe, and like you said, about this whole New World Order thing, I think a lot of what we're seeing right now transpiring is exactly a smokescreen and a cover-up, a lethal cover-up, to cover up what's going on in the Ukraine and the highest levels of corruption and collusion and gaslighting and warmongering in the world. Am I guessing too far from the mark there?
No, you're absolutely right. And going back to what you said about Russia being a boogeyman, look, Russia is not a nation that invades, right? How many countries has the U.S. invaded since the 50s? Right? So
totally solid. And on what grounds has the United States invaded every country since the 50s? Pretty much the same talking points, the same bullet points, the same narrative.
Yeah.
And
so,
those narratives aren't really working anymore. So here we are with this. Is this a new game? Same playbook?
Yeah, you know, and it's just ridiculous. It's you know, they say that if you do something, if you commit a crime, point a finger at someone else and accuse them of doing it. This is exactly what the U.S. is doing. This is exactly what these liberals are doing.
Isn't that fall under the Alice in Wonderland playbook?
I don't know, but it's accurate. But look, you know, these intelligence agencies, if there's no boogeyman in the world, they don't have a budget.
Yeah, that's true.
The bottom line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't, like I said, we're going to jump all over, you know. I'm kind of intrigued because I'm the one of the bunch that really, you know, I've posted, I've done shows about pedophiles, I've done things of many aspects because I believe in the future, I believe in saving children, I believe in, you know, putting those in the forefront that have committed these heinous crimes. If and when these tapes ever get dropped or ever get, you know, other aspects to look at them, and your mind and your thought, you know, with the footage that you've seen, how much of the Hollywood elite, how much of the political elite will fall from these tapes?
Well, I only recognize one person on these tapes. And you got to remember these, and they're not tapes, they're copied video files. And you got to remember that these video files are old. They're like from, 480i, if you know what that is.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I think unless you know who these people are, it's going to be hard to figure out who is who, because a lot of them aren't that good. That being said, I mean, look, this guy, the one guy that we recognize, he's a pretty major figure. Well, am I allowed to say his name? Well, never mind.
Yeah, you can say his name. My show is not censored.
I think it was Stephen Burke with NBC.
You know, Wayne, I know you want
to
jump in.
What?
Bigger than that, right? I mean, the top six, if it's the top of the NBC, they're Mockingbird Media, right? They're all the same thing. They all chirp and say the same thing. Doesn't matter whether it's American state media or Canadian state media. It's the same as what 1939 German state media was. So if one of these guys is guilty, they are all guilty.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because what's the one group of media outlets, what's the one country that hasn't really covered the Epstein story? I mean, yeah, there was coverage like when he got arrested and when he killed himself, but they never wanted to follow up on it. And that's the American media corporations. And you have to ask yourself why. But, you know, after seeing that, it kind of makes sense. I mean, they want that story dead.
You know, the thing that, you know, I think people, their expectations in life are always higher than what we, you know, they're going to get on the show. You know, we plan on breaking things down as this was a first-time effort and us correlating multiple platforms into one show. You know, I truly appreciate, you know, your integrity and the willingness to come on to a multi-platform global show. You know, it shows your true character, and you know, I gotta say I respect you on that. You know, but you look at corruption. Corruption is worldwide. Corruption has no
mm-hmm.
boundaries. What is it now in your thoughts that has the far left truly looking to take down an aspect that can do great things? What are your thoughts, not as the man with the Epstein tapes, not as, you know, the cop, but the man that's sitting at home that truly understands what's going on with Burisma, with the Democrats, with what's, you know, perplexing in the world right now? What are your thoughts about all of it when you put it in a nutshell? Where do you think the world is going?
Well, I think the world's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you why. Because I think there's enough of us that are starting to understand and starting to see what's happening. I don't call myself a Republican, okay? I'm an independent. I've voted both parties in my life. So I can't say I'm a Republican, and I can't say I'm a liberal, but Democrat. But I can say what the Democrats are doing is awful, and I think enough people are seeing it, like myself, where there's no way in hell that they're going to let them keep power.
You know,
so I
I'm
think
not
the world's
sure
going to be okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and I'm not sure what lifestyle's like in Russia. You know, as with Canada, us Americans get painted these pictures of each and every country. You know, as Canada, you know, when I first started doing shows with them to share the Patriot stories, you know, we looked at Canada as this great place of grandeur, green acres, and we didn't really know the atrocities and the adversities that were complex there. You know, what is it like living in Russia? Is it socialism? Is it an aspect that is perplexed in that way? What is the lifestyle in Russia?
Oh, it's absolutely capitalistic here. Socialism died when the Soviet Union fell, and people will not go back to that. In fact, they think Americans are absolutely insane for even contemplating being socialist. And everything here is just capitalistic. Another video, I did another video on my YouTube channel on whether Russia was capitalist or socialist, and you would be shocked. And every one of my friends who's ever come here to visit me was shocked at what they saw. But you'll have to check. You should check out that video, or your listeners should check out that video, just to see what I'm talking about. They would never. Okay, so there's one aspect of Russia that's still somewhat socialist, and that's their healthcare system. Okay, but the healthcare system isn't good. At least the public healthcare system. Private healthcare is great here, but if you need the socialist part of it, nah, you don't want it. It's technology just 30, 40 years older than what we have in the United States. So, yeah.
You know, you look at it, and we kind of make a joke of it here in the United States, and it's truly no joking manner. You know, when we first got quarantined, you know, we were like, welcome to the world of Bernie Sanders, you know, and in reality, that's not too far from the truth. You know, you look at his ideology, and then you've got Generation Z, and you got other aspects that think that, socialism is, I could sit at home, I could play video games, I could smoke my weed, I don't have to work, and the government's going to give me a check. In reality, that's not what socialism is. You know, they're going to find aspects that they never understood or they never will never understand, you know, but yet they stand up and they fight for these aspects of socialism that want to be converged into American politics. What kind of statement could you give my listeners and the people worldwide about how far-fetched and how much they're being deceived into understanding what true socialism is?
Well, you know, I wasn't in the Soviet Union. I didn't know what it was like back then. So I can't really compare the two with firsthand experience, but I have friends that can, and they say that they would never ever want to go back to that system ever again. And that it's just, I mean, it's an awful way of life. Red lines, you know, women were only able to own like a bra or two, you know, because you had to have special permission to buy more bras. And if you happen to buy like an extra bra, you know, you could get thrown in jail for bribery because you'd have to bribe somebody to do it. And the black market was huge. In fact, my favorite shopping center is called Gorbushka, And back in the late 80s, it was a huge black market sales place. So, you know, of course, you can still buy black market items there. But back then, I mean, what kind of life would it be? You can't listen to Michael Jackson, you know, because it's against your party's values, you know. And I know maybe that doesn't really answer your question, but I mean, it's kind of the best I can give.
That's all we ask for is the truth. You know, we can only represent the factual aspect, and that's the only way I correlate my show is through facts. I'm going to turn the show back over to What's Up Canada, let them ask you two or three questions, and then we'll be back in a minute. Wayne?
Okay.
This has been a really fun opportunity to be able to not be pigeonholed into something and let the conversation evolve and bounce around a little bit. So thanks for bearing with us from all sides of the ballpark on all of this. And as time goes here, we'll get more organized and streamlined about this. But for some of the things that we've covered today, and knowing that we're gonna dig into some other stuff and more complexity later on, first I want to say thank you for your thoughts that we're going to be okay in the end. I think so too. I think that's kind of one of the things the audience needs to hear from other parts of the world, and that's the significance of that. And being able to communicate like this from
I was going to say before I cut you off. Sorry, but your listeners have to remember, it's going to be okay, but they have to be active and they have to have their own voice, because if they sit back and do nothing, then it won't be okay. So I say that it's going to be okay with this, with the understanding that they're actively involved, they're engaged, and they don't want anything to happen like this any more than the rest of us. So it's really going to be up to them, and it's important that they understand that.
And that's exactly what I was going to get to. Thank you. You know, is what you could, what we could add to that to keep doing, to keep going in that direction. And this is exactly what I would have hoped that you had said. You know, and this is what we're seeing already. We had and a guest from Anonymous on last week, where they had spoken to where this is going to be the time of the great enlightenment, and to make use of this time of this turmoil and this basically everybody being put in the corner for a global timeout, and to use this time to our advantage and to come together in information and in our own humanity, because our governments aren't going to save us, but we can save ourselves by doing things exactly like this. So I see
we
this.
We have to save ourselves from the government.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So this is all starting to feel to me like there's a tide turning for the world, and we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but I think I can see and feel a time of peace coming again.
I do too. I think you're right about that. Two quick questions for you. First, are we still on the video feed?
We are. Your camera is not. I don't know what's happened there. After the radio show, I'd love it if you'd join us again here on the video feed. And anybody that's listening out there in radio land, by all means, join us afterwards too.
Okay. And the second question is, how long will this go? Because after 60 minutes, my phone cuts off, and then I'll have to call back.
I'm good to let this go if Don is, for the time being. Let's do more of them and make them a little less monstrous to digest.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, John, first, most importantly, you know, to let my listeners know, we apologize for the technical difficulties today, you know, and we're going to get that fixed and sorted out. We know you can't stay on the call much longer. Wayne, I'm going to have you stay on the call as John gets over to the video so we can kind of touch upon some bases. But, John, I'm looking forward to more opportunities with you, dig deeper down the rabbit hole, per se, as we like to use terminology in this world. But, you know, you've been an aspect of wisdom, and I appreciate the truth, you know, and a lot of people that are in your situation aren't willing to come up, stand up, and share their voice. You know, it's people like you that create a difference. You know, people say, why make a ripple? It's not going to make a difference. But, you know, in reality, a ripple becomes a wave. And with one ripple, we can create difference. We can create change. And we can create opportunities for others.
Well, the analogy that I like to use is, you know, one person with a hammer might only make a small dent in a mountain, but several, you know, you get a thousand people together and they can break it down into rocks.
Most definitely. John, I know you got to go. We appreciate you coming on the show. I look forward to the next episode that we do with you. We'll get a little bit more in depth next time, and thank you for coming on, and we'll catch you on the live video version of What's Up Canada. I appreciate you coming on the Fighter's Voice, brother. God bless you and be safe.
Glad to have you. Glad you had me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. You know, Wayne, are you still there?
He's still here with bells on, brother. You have to drag me away kicking, scratching, and screaming.
You know, I kind of want to touch on a few things, you know. Yeah, I was kind of expecting a little bit more on the Epstein aspect. But, you know, I kind of want to walk away from that because we're going to be doing several shows with him. You know, I kind of do want to jump on the Biden situation for just a minute. You know, just to kind of correlate to people what we actually look for and what we actually do. You know, you're looking at a wire transfer of $23 million in 2014. And, you know, people, when you look at that amount of money, you can't just transfer that. You know, Wayne, what are your thoughts when the UK caught that? Not even the American government caught that, but the UK caught that and froze those assets, you know, as far as Burisma is concerned.
I think the UK had learned a lesson there. There was a point, probably I think it was 10 or 12 years ago, where George Soros had actually made trillions of dollars off of something similar, similar action using downgrading the British currency and then buying it at next to nothing when the stock markets crashed and their money crashed, and then making billions when it came back. So he made something, it was a ridiculously sick amount of money. So I think the Brits were way more in tune with that to make sure, because they were really embarrassed by that. And I think that's kind of put them on a different scent, you know, when they're tracking money. And they had, George Soros had actually threatened England that if they left the EU, that he would do it to them again. Right. So these guys are getting, they're getting blatant and rude and arrogant about how they're pillaging us with their own money systems. And I think the UK had been under the nearly complete yoke of the EU and the communism, socialism, new world order there that was trying to get to overtake America and has done a very good job of infiltrating into Canada. But the EU or the UK, the Brits, they got wise to it. And I think that's because of some of those things. And now, so this is not going to be as easy for them to put the wool over people's eyes. And the more that we do like this, exposing these kinds of frauds and collusions and corruptions and this money laundering, in essence, this is money laundering, problem, reaction, solution, make a bazillion dollars. So it's up to us and all of our little hammers to take these mountains down.
You know, most definitely. But then you look at the money laundering situation and, you know, people, we're talking about $1.8 billion that was laundered through LaFIFA It was caught. It was froze. Then you look at the aspects. Hunter Biden joined the board. And lo and behold, you got Kolomoisky, you know, the murderer, the man who's beheaded several people. He gets a visa to the U.S. Why is the question, Wayne?
Who profits from it? You have to ask, you can only answer a question like that with another question, because there's no common sense, logic, or reason or benefit for anybody in America in a case like this. This to me, you know, not much different than Trudeau saying the world lost a great leader when Castro died. Right? I mean, it's just ridiculousness. So yeah, the only way to look at it is who profits, because there's no mentality in it. There's no intelligence in it.
Well, yeah, most definitely. And if you dig a little bit deeper, you know, you'll find that the Bidens endorsed this situation, but acted like their hands were clean. You know, we're talking about $1.8 billion that eventually got transferred from La FIFA to a bank, the Privat Bank. And, you know, that was done under the guidance of Obama through the Ukraine and the banking system. You know, when you dig down even deeper, like John was even saying, it goes all the way back to the Clintons. So when you look at that aspect and you understand how the money laundering took effect, you know, what do you take away from how they did that? Because actually the money, the $1.8 billion went to military, the government, through a state bank. You know, what are the correlations between Privat and Burisma and Canada?
Canada has a new bank. A new international state bank modeled and formulated in the exact same mirror system and image of Clinton's, Privat, you name it. Right? This is where it's up to us to go and go, this doesn't pass the smell test. And we'll start looking at how these banks are structured, all of them, in our respective nations, and seeing, okay, identifying Burisma is a shell front company to launder money. And I mean, we didn't even touch on why and who they were laundering money to. That is beyond people's comprehension and scope yet. And this is why they're going to need to come back to multiple segments of what we're digging into, because we have no idea as average citizens how close we could have come to a legitimate earth-ending event because of this, as a fallout or the ripple waves or the tsunami of this exact stuff that we're starting to dig into. And it starts with looking at the little things like the banks and the companies. And when that starts to expose more is when people will truly start to understand the fear and danger that these people have put us in, not just in our own countries, but the whole world. And it's for the sake of their greed.
Yeah. You know, most definitely. You know, the thoughts of today's show really didn't go down the way I did. First and foremost, all the listeners of Canada and all the listeners worldwide, you know, I apologize that we had the technical difficulties. You know, we never have taken a call from Russia, from such an entity as John. You know, and we have to make sure that our guests are truly protected and don't put themselves in an aspect that would cause harm. You know, I got to say I was a little perplexed on the aspects of what we were going to get as far as the Epstein tapes. You know, I'm a little baffled in some regards, but as you say, as we go and gain respect and knowledge for each other, I believe more value is and intent is going to be shared in the next couple shows to come. You know, there's so much information trying to cram down in such a short period of time. But I think overall, in the next couple of shows, we're going to be able to share that with all aspects of life. What are your thoughts?
Exactly right, Don. And what this is kind of, I think one of the silver linings of this kind of being all over the place is that we've touched on a lot of different things. And this is going to bring a lot of people to the table that have knowledge in more specifically, perhaps, than we do even on a lot of these specific subjects. These subjects are all intertwined and connected. And they are massive. They are... whether they're a company or a syndicate or all of the governmental party, they're all stretched beyond borders. This is an international web that is incredibly complex. We're never going to get through all of it in one show, but this is going to give people an idea of some of the big chambers that this stuff is contained within that is going to bring people into researching and digging and exposing more of this. There are people that are fighting the Ukraine corruption, and that's all they're fighting. There are people that are exposing the Bidens, and that's all they're exposing. There are people that are exposing Trudeau and Freeland and the corruption in Canada, and that's all that they're exposing. So everybody's going to start to come together on their expertise, their knowledges, and contributes to this awakening that's going to ultimately, I believe, take these guys down. Because once you start pulling on these threads, this is a giant blanket of corruption and deception. And when we start pulling on threads from all four corners, that blanket starts to unravel really, really quickly. So this is where I think it's actually excellent that we were able to, you know, just get into a little bit of a bunch of different things so people can get a feel for where this is going to go and how these are going to all connect a little bit further down the road. And we're going to be able to really get into some deep, deep stuff that we're going to be able to expose and shed some light on.
Most definitely. And, you know, one more thing I want to paint a picture for people before we kind of wrap things up here is if you really look at Colin Moiskey, people go and research that name. Wayne or I will put out a link. We're talking about a man that murdered, beheaded people for the thrill of it. But yet the Bidens, the Obamas, basically gave this man a free aspect of life. They wiped his record clean. They allowed him to come to the United States. And if you're Canadian, that should kind of ring a bell with you. That's basically the same thing that Trudeau is doing. And then when you look at that aspect, correlate this thought. Where has Barack Obama been? He's been side by side with Trudeau. So you put the pieces together one by one. You don't have to take my word for it, but you put the pieces together one by one. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, pardon me. You look at Joe Biden, and then now all of a sudden, Justin Trudeau, you know, is in the picture. So when you start looking at it in that complexity, you know, the puzzle kind of starts to fall together. Wouldn't you say so, brother?
It's become ever more increasingly easy to recognize the franchises of the same corruption.
Well, you know, today was kind of interesting. Like I said, I was a little taken back. I was hoping we would get a little bit more on the Epstein aspect, but I also understand that protecting your family is the number one priority. So I commend John on that. You know, John, you got to take care of your family, and I'm not going to have you risk your life for sensationalism, you know. That's not the way I rule in life. You know, Wayne, I truly would like to thank Canada. I want to thank the listeners around the world for dealing with our technical difficulties and getting this show going. We apologize that we had to start a half an hour late, but we're going to bring the show to you no matter what. It goes to show you, you got to adapt and improvise to bring stories like this, because links are shot down, aspects are taken out, and sometimes, like with today's show, you know, being able to get aspects on, you know, at the last moment when we've already, you know, correlated the day in advance and made these things work, all of a sudden they don't work the following day. These are things that are out of our hands, so I apologize for the technical difficulties, but I don't apologize for the show.
And one thing that I want to people to keep in mind is, though even maybe we didn't bring out specific details, some still came out. The fact that the tapes that he has, more than 700 of them, kind of run in dates between 1995 and 2005. That is a ton of information. That is a ton of information that we can go and start digging. Who's associated with these people and these cliques and these organizations? Who is spending all of the money? Who are they supporting? Who are they funding the Terra Mars, this, that, and the other things? And we'll be able to figure out who's on those tapes without seeing those tapes. So that's huge amounts of information, even without specifics.
You know, I definitely won't be watching any more NBC. I can tell you that, man. You know, with that aspect being perplexed, it makes you wonder how deep this really goes. You know what I'm saying?
Started. We're just getting started, bro. This is and our army of truthers and searchers and diggers and exposers is growing by the second.
Most definitely. Well, on behalf of the Fighter's Voice and What's Up Canada, I want to thank my listeners for tuning in today. Once again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. I apologize if you didn't take out the complexity of the show. You know, we're going to be doing a mini documentary with John, and we'll express more as time goes on. I was hoping myself for a little bit more on the Epstein tapes, but you know what? I will, like I said before, I will not put that man's life in jeopardy. You know, Wayne, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. Is there anything you would like to say to the world before we do?
Remember humanity in your time of need. When somebody falls in front of you, help them up. This is what it's going to take to get through these dark times. But there's always a dawn after the darkness. And I cannot wait to see and share with you all again soon. God bless. Stay safe from Canada and beyond.
Most definitely. Thank you, my fellow patriots. I appreciate everybody that tuned in today. God bless you. I appreciate you, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Kind of a little out of my realm today, but, you know, I was hoping, I will be with my listeners. I'll side with the listeners in the green room. I was hoping for a little bit more as far as the Epstein tapes are concerned, but in the next few episodes, I'm sure we'll get a little bit more information. With that being said, I want to thank you for joining the show. Have a good day, and God bless.